live from our living room. It's from Long Distance to Marriage with Andrea and Rich. We're a once long distance couple who closed 5,000 miles of distance and made it through to marriage.
We talk long distance, marriage, and relationships.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to episode 15 of From Long Distance to Marriage. Today, we're going to talk about infidelity in relationships. You might remember a few weeks ago now, we did some questions and posts on Instagram to get our listeners and followers input on this. And Rich is going to start by going through some of the responses we got and what the questions were. Now, take it away.
So the first question was, could you forgive a partner for cheating on you? And we had a mixture of responses on this. I think most of them were no, but we had a maybe. We had, I think it depends on how bad it is. Like, what did he do and how and stuff like that. And someone else said it would take some time, but yes. And then someone made the point that they're not sure, but they'd ask why they did it. They heard that they've heard some people cheat because there's something missing or whatever. So they'll see if there's something they could do to improve the relationship. So that was the first question. The second question was, do you worry your partner will cheat? And all of the responses are no, not even a little bit. We both trust each other very much. Our relationship at the moment is so strong. I know they're loyal. One person said, yes, they do worry. They said, even if I trust her, sometimes shit happens, which I suppose is true. The next question was, if you're long distance, do you worry when you're apart? The responses to this was a little bit more of a mixed bag. I'm always worried about that Instagram doesn't show the full responses at first. I'm always worried about that because he got a lot of girlfriends and his ex lives at the same neighbourhood. At times I do worry. I've worried that girls would hit on him, but I was lucky to find a somewhat oblivious love. Never. I worry about feelings changing, but not cheating in particular. And then, no, a cheater's going to cheat no matter what, so it's not about the distance, which again is probably true. So the next question was, have you ever cheated or would you? And the answers to this were no. Let's see, what's this one? The worst thing I've done is given in to a guy that likes me. We went out to eat and text, but they didn't do anything other than that. No, definitely not. I think if you even think of it, the relationship isn't fulfilling enough. Never, never. I had cheated in the past, but not with my spouse. It was an abusive ex. I never thought I would, but yes, I have. It was the start of my current relationship, so it's hard to feel guilt. Yes, and it's the worst experience. Your relationship's not the same anymore. Which is interesting, because then that's showing that whenever you hear about infidelity, it's always about what the person who didn't cheat, you know, how they feel about it. But it's interesting about the guilt from the people who...
Did he say he didn't, that, or he or she, did they say they didn't feel guilt?
One of them said it's hard to feel guilt because it was the start of the current relationship. But then someone else said they did cheat and it was the worst experience. Your relationship is not the same anymore.
Mm. That's really brave of people to admit that, even though, of course, everything that you submit to us, unless you say otherwise, is anonymous.
Well, it's not anonymous to us.
Yeah, I know, but we're not going to...
No, we're not
going to. We don't know them in real life. We're not going to do anything. We're not going to expose them anywhere.
And so the last question is, what do you think motivates someone to cheat? And the responses to this were fights and lack of attention from a partner, and suddenly someone cares a lot about you. Being lonely, perhaps, needing physical affection, but dedication can win out. Maybe because there's something that's lacking from the other person, partner isn't giving attention. And then look for someone else, what your couple can't offer you, but it's something stupid, I think. So those are the questions and the answers. So thank you everyone who did answer those.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for the honesty.
Yeah, I think there's something really telling there in that last question. What do you think motivates people to cheat? Now, I think, disclaimer, I've never cheated on anyone. And as far as I'm aware of, I've never been cheated on. Of course, maybe some of my younger relationships that could have happened, but nothing that I'm aware of, nothing that I ever felt suspicious of. About you, same thing?
Yeah, I mean, I had that awkwardness at uni where we lived together. So we weren't together, but
Or you'd been together previously.
Yeah, we'd been together. We still lived together because it was a student house. And we just wanted a strange relationship. And then she did end up.
But it was off and on. You weren't really on at that point, were you?
Yeah, like I said, it was a strange one. So, yeah.
So nothing strict. It was a difficult cheating situation. But no, still awful strict, and cheating. Difficult. Yeah, okay. So while we may not be authorities on that kind of thing, rest assured that morally, we have not cheated. So I don't know if that helps, actually. Maybe that doesn't help. But it's just talk through and maybe give some ideas and explore some reasons, really.
See, we're quite open in our marriage, though, right?
That yeah.
We don't hide the fact that we find other people attractive.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So,
like today, I want to go see Aquaman really bad.
And I'm under no illusion of why you want to go and see Aquaman.
Aquaman. I do really think Jason Momoa, or however you say his name, is hilarious and beautiful. But also, I really like the origin movies of superhero films. I'm not big on the group superhero films. Yeah, okay, films.
That's great.
Yeah, okay. I just wanted to let you know that
but
it's not just because he's
female. I know that there are, and we know people in those relationships, where it's unreasonably expected that, well, you're with me now, you can't possibly find anyone else attractive, which I think, to be frank, we both think is ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, I catch you checking people out, but also...
You point girls out to
I do, sometimes. And sometimes...
Did you see the tits on that
my, girl? My brother was here visiting... a few years ago, and we were in London doing some sightseeing, and this girl, like, I would do unspoken things to have an ass like hers, like, not to objectify her, but she must work really hard, take good care of herself. Best ass I've ever seen.
And like, I didn't see it.
Yeah, you my brother and I were like walking ahead of you a little bit, and we're like, he turns around, he said, did you see the ass on that girl? Like, looking at you. And I was like, yeah. And you're like, what? Wait, what? We have to go back. But it didn't work.
So we find other people attractive. I mean, the quote I always remember, my mum's always said, sort of tongue-in-cheek.
Oh, but, grosses me out, though, because she's a 60-odd-year-old woman.
Well, she wasn't always a 60-odd-year-old. But she always used to say, just because you've got your plate doesn't mean you can't look at the menu.
I heard it's just because you're on a diet, you can't look at
your menu. Well, that's someone else's
quote. No, that's what she said.
That's not her. Well, maybe she's modified it, but this is what we always said. And I've always thought that's true.
We're sexual beings as humans.
But I think us being open about it, it doesn't feel like, you know, with anything when it's out in the open, it doesn't feel like you're doing something wrong.
Of course.
So I feel like some people probably feel like you already feel like you're doing something wrong. And that I don't think that's helpful and healthy.
Well, we also have the knowledge that no one would ever want the job of putting up with either of us.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, no one could deal with your shit, and no one could deal with my shit. We're very uniquely matched.
But then, I moving on a little bit, I don't know that everyone is suited to monogamy, maybe.
I agree.
And I think there's a lot of interest. I mean, I haven't read much of it, but I know there is a lot of interesting research going on into it. And obviously, with social media, you see more and more people saying, oh, you know, we're polyamorous, and one person's not enough.
Can you remind me what that means, polyamorous? I have heard it, but I've...
Well, it's people who... have relationships with multiple people with consent. So
did we watch? We watched a Louis Theroux thing about this, didn't we? Yeah, we watched something. That was really interesting, actually.
I mean, what I find interesting about that was when that particular show.
I think we've talked about Louis Theroux before on here, haven't we?
Yeah, everyone should watch Louis Theroux. But you know, we did comment on there that certainly the people they selected to be on that show, you could kind of see what was missing in the relationships.
But we also noticed that there was one particular couple where.
He
a woman really was married to a man and they had a child together. And then years later, after they'd been together for a long time, it came out that she wanted another relationship and he let her. And he kind of just had this plastered smile on his face. I'm happy. Everything's fine.
Like, yeah, and you can tell he
you know that meme where like everything's on fire and the cartoon character. Yeah, yeah. This is fine. This is fine. That is exactly what...
That is what it was like.
That is what it was like. And you just thought, this guy cannot be happy. Not... I'm sure some people can be happy in that situation.
Yeah, it was he himself.
But you could see that he wasn't.
But I think that some people, and you know, some people make the argument that certainly for men, we're hardwired to spread our seed from an evolutionary point of view. So I can see that some people, maybe it's not for everyone. But then if that is you, then that's a conversation you need to have.
And then you should know that you shouldn't enter into a monogamous relationship and get someone's hopes up. It's going to be harder for you to... I think people like that probably still want a relationship or relationships
with freedom. There's a Facebook group for everything now.
Just but it's going to be hard. I guess it'd still be hard to find... Not that it's going to be hard to find the people, but it might be... You know, you can't help who you fall in love with. And you may fall in love with someone who is strictly monogamous and doesn't want that. Yeah. And that's hard. That's... Anyways, that's kind of off topic. But First of all, from a long distance perspective, I can 100% understand people who worry about their partner cheating when they're long distance. Well,
I can also, to a degree, understand people who do
cheat. Well, this is something I want to talk about. So when we were apart...
Especially if you've never met.
Yeah. When we were apart and we hadn't met, now, for a long time, we didn't think of each other as boyfriend and girlfriend. We kind of decided to give this a real shot and we weren't going to see other people. But for a long time, I think you were a little bit nervous about calling it boyfriend and girlfriend because, you know, we'd never met and stuff like that. And that all made sense. I didn't like it at the time, but I can certainly see the thought process and logic behind it. But I just remember thinking, you know, what if he meets someone else who's there and he can have a normal relationship with, take her out on dates, meet her family, be part of her friend circle? How could I blame him for wanting that over this, no matter how strong our connection is, no matter how attracted we are to each other? You know, how could you do that? And how could you prevent that from happening? After we met, it was a bit less of an how could I blame him for that.
Well, and I feel like after we met, so much of our energy was put into
finding out how to be together.
Yeah.
So kind of, you know, a long distance relationship almost puts you in the perfect situation for worrying about cheating or having opportunities for cheating. So you kind of said you can understand why people would. Do you want to explain more what you meant about that before people start to hate you?
Well, I said I can understand why they would, not that I think they should.
I know.
But yeah, you've got a lot of space and we weren't long distance for a horrific amount of time, thankfully, but you know, we've certainly seen people who are. If you're young and you're in a relationship where you see someone every year, that's hard.
Yeah.
And partly because you're young, because you're just so fucking horny all the time.
But I mean, I don't even know. Are people, you know, nature, nurture, or whatever you want to call it, are some people just more likely to cheat no matter what the situation? You see, yeah, because
I think, like we said before, we still find people attractive. Everyone still finds people attractive. So some people, with anything, you know, some people are better at controlling their impulses than others. So some people are aware that, okay, there are consequences to this action, not just that I might get caught, but I mean something to the other person and I'm going to be letting them down if I do this, or this would really hurt them. So you think about those consequences. Some people don't think about the consequences. These are people who can't help, you know, actually, yeah, I will take drugs tonight because the opportunity is there and I think it'd be fun. And you've got that hedonistic pursuit that overrides the consequences. Like, we talked about this recently, right, when I said I don't like getting drunk because I don't like the come down of being drunk. So to me, that the consequence of that is stronger than the bit that is enjoyable.
Like someone said, I can't remember which question it was we put on stories. Someone said, if you're even thinking about it, that is a problem. Is that necessarily always... I mean, maybe in some instances I can see it is. No, like,
you know, you've had sex dreams and woken up really guilty about it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, you're not in control of that. There's an element of our sexuality that is just very primitive and is not... If you're sitting there maybe facilitating the daydream, maybe, but, you know, I think to an extent people can be too harsh on themselves or unrealistic in what they expect from other people. You can't expect your partner to not find someone attractive. And if they have a fleeting moment of doing something on that, then I think you have to remember at the end of the day that sometimes opportunities are there and it's not about whether you think it would be a pleasant experience. It's that you decide not to act on it and you go home or wherever to still be with your partner. Like, that to me is the overriding factor.
Yeah. I do think that it can depend on this. I think overall I agree with you, but I think it can depend. You know, if you're putting yourself in situations where it's more likely to happen that isn't necessarily wise, then maybe you need to just think about what behavior is putting you in that position. Not that that's cheating.
No, I agree.
But, you know,
you need to have some responsibility for you. And especially if you know you're someone that's not very good at controlling your impulses, then you say, actually, I'm not going to go to this event with all these girls who I'm gonna...
Yeah, or boys. I mean, you know, look, everyone is human, and especially when you're far apart, getting some attention can feel really, really good. Not even if it's physical attention, just someone flirting at you, someone, you know, looking at you. It can just feel nice. Heck, I mean, I'm been married a long time, and if I notice someone looking at me in public, that feels nice. Nothing's ever going to happen. I don't want anything from them.
But there's also the point, though, that we're all, you mentioned before, like, nature nurture, like, we are the product of our environment. Yeah. So one, if you're around a lot of people who see no problem in cheating, which I think for men that's probably not uncommon to be around people who see no issue with it. But also if you are someone who's got low self-esteem, or maybe you're at school and you didn't get any attention from the opposite sex or the same sex, if that's what you're into, like, you know, if there's something in you that is craving that, and then someone appears and they give it to you, it's not difficult to see why people cheat, and I personally feel like cheating can be forgiven, and there are different situations. There are people who almost seek it out and will sleep with anyone when the opportunity arises, and they're sort of serial cheaters. And then you get the people who make, for want of a better term, an honest mistake.
I think it depends.
Well, like that response we got from someone, yeah, I did it, and it was horrible, and the relationship was... Clearly, they've learned a lesson from that, that they're probably not going to do it again. Yeah. That's not the same as someone who went, yeah, I fucking love it, I'll sleep with anyone I can, and as long as she doesn't find out.
But I just know that, like you said, every situation is different, and I know for me, you know, I've only slept with a few people, and I either did or thought that I loved them, you being one of them, and I know I loved you. So for me to get into a situation where I would sleep with someone, I would need to be in love with them, and that would be not just a mistake. Do you know what I mean? It takes time to fall in love with someone. That would be a huge damage to our relationship. Now, maybe someone else who in previous, before they were in their relationship, would not that sleeping around is a bad thing. I'm just saying that for me, I was never comfortable. But maybe someone who was more comfortable sleeping with different people, if they did it, it meant nothing. For me, it would mean something. And that would be a huge problem to our relationship. And then that would
be harder for me to deal with. Because I think on the face of it, really, I could probably forgive you for cheating on me. But...
For being in love with someone and cheating on you.
Yeah, knowing that's... what you just said, it's unlikely that for you to cheat on someone is the result of I ran out and
got drunk in this situation
and something happened. Knowing that that's 99% not the reason you would end up cheating on someone would be the difficult bit
to me. But I do think that...
But then also that I then suggest to me that there is someone else who comes in. Oh. There's something that we're not addressing in the relationship. Mm-hmm. Like, what am I not giving you? Because And I know this isn't a popular opinion in today's society. Anything, you can't ever blame the victim or put anything on the victim. But I don't entirely agree with that. And I always use the analogy that you don't leave your front door open when you go out because you know someone could go in and rob your house. Yes, they still shouldn't go in and rob your house, but you take measures to prevent it. If you are in a relationship and you're completely neglecting someone, and maybe you're not being very nice to them, maybe you're just not giving them, they're still a person with needs, and they do still love you. They don't want to leave you necessarily, but you can't lay all the blame at their feet for getting what they need elsewhere.
Yeah, I think there's certain situations where that's probably true. Yeah,
and there are some people, you know, where they've tried everything, and they've spoken to the other person, and they've said they need this, and it's getting really bad for me, and I need this from you, and I'm not happy with this. And if they're not making any effort to change, or they don't care, or whatever, you know, I can understand it to an extent.
But then,
because the relationship's more than sex, too.
Of course, but if you've done that over and over and said, you know, this isn't enough, I need this from you, you know, I'm not happy, blah, 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 should you not say, look, we need to just end this now? Like, why keep going and then cheat? Then why not break up?
What if you're happy with other things in the relationship? I don't think it's that binary. I think they might be someone that, you know, you have a lot of memories in a relationship.
Yeah.
But you don't want to, you've got a lot of memories in a relationship that are hard to walk away from. You may still love that person. They may still make you laugh and overall make you happy. But what if you're with someone who won't have sex with you anymore?
But what if it's not about sex?
Well, let's say it is. For this example, let's say it's about sex.
Well, then okay. Then of course,
if you're happy with everything else, and they're good to you, and you've got a loving family, and you're raising children together, and you still have nice holidays, and you spend time together, and everything else is nice, but they've said, you know what, I just haven't got a sex drive anymore, and I'm not really interested.
Well, then that person needs therapy, because the thing about,
but if they're not interested in finding a solution to it,
yeah.
I don't disagree. Yes, they do need to. But what I'm saying is, you can't force the other person to do that.
Can't.
So I do. There does come a point where I think, yeah, I can understand why you did that.
Well, I think there comes a point when an ultimatum is necessary. I think ultimatums are awful in most instances, but if you have genuinely said, I need this, let's try this, will you, are you open to this? Yeah,
but that can backfire, because they might see that as bullying, and you know.
I think that if it's come to a certain point, and it's not just that maybe there's anxieties around it, or that, you know, obviously it's hard to get inside people's heads, but I think if you have literally tried everything, and this person won't even talk to you about giving you what you need or why they can't give you what they need or address that it's an issue, then you're fair to say, look, you either need to try or we need to end this.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I'm saying in the real world, that doesn't always happen.
Well, of course, But if you've been trying and your only option to get what you need is to cheat on them, then that's not fair.
But then that raises another question. Do people actively seek out cheating? Some people do. Had that Ashley Madison website scandal a couple of years ago. Remember that website? People will go on there to find people to cheat. That, you know, that was really for married people to find other people to have sex. So, you know, obviously some cheating is premeditated. And you have these people who have secret families, and I'm going to put a pin in that. I think that's very different to what we're talking about. The moral implications that are very different to someone who's not getting what they need at home and they're out one night and someone starts to give them attention.
Yeah. And you know, again, you know, we have been long distance. We no longer are. So we can see this from both sides. It is very easy, I think, when you're missing someone and it's hard. When you're in a relationship that's local, you know, your friend circles end up kind of joining, I think, in a healthy relationship. Sometimes people don't get along, but in many instances, you know, your friends become friends with his or her friends and blah, blah, you know. So when you end up going out, you're usually together and you're usually with your mutual groups of friends. So even if you do get a bit shit-faced or, you know, someone slips something in your drink, you're unlikely to have the opportunity to do anything unless you want to. Now, when you're apart and you're long distance, you are still out with your friends who may be single, maybe think that your long distance relationship is dumb or not worthwhile or not going to go anywhere. So there's just all kinds of scenarios that can happen because you're not in a necessarily the same environment you would be if you weren't long distance. Does that make sense? You know, you're not protected.
Yeah, it does. But even if you're not long distance, you're not always out with those friends.
No, you're not.
People meet each other in all sorts of different ways. You might meet someone at work. You might meet someone when you're at the post office. You might meet someone, you know, in a number of places.
Yeah, like I do go out for drunken nights with my work friends. There are girls there. The majority of the people in my office are men. So I am mainly out with men and one or two girls when I go out drinking. Are you ever concerned about that? No.
No.
And sometimes I come home and tell you things like, I feel bad. I got attention tonight. I didn't do anything. You know, I was dancing with my work friends and someone came up and, you know. But you're really secure. That's actually something
that... Yeah, it doesn't bother me at all.
Well, in other friends' relationships, I know that would make the man... I say man just because that's the same, you know, makeup as our relationship. I'm not saying women don't feel this way. The men would get really jealous and possessive. You are so not jealous that actually makes you feel good. It makes you feel proud that...
Oh, yeah, it's nice
that I've married someone who other people find attractive. I've bagged a good one. Maybe that's really... I don't know if that's...
But, you know, also, like, we've just said here, we've both agreed that we are in a relationship, but we find other people attractive. Like, it wouldn't really be fair of me to then say, well, no one else can find you attractive.
Yeah.
I don't want them touching you.
Someone slapped my butt that one time.
Yeah, that was fun. But
I don't know who that was even.
My sentiment towards that is aligned to you. Like, if you're happy with... You have the boundaries for yourself.
It's my body.
It's your body. And if you're comfortable that something isn't wrong, then I'm agreeing with you. You know, if you weren't bothered that some stranger slapped you on the butt and you don't know who it was, then fine.
But I don't. If I'd been sober, I'd have had a problem with it.
But if you felt violated by that, then I'd agree with you.
Yeah.
I feel like you said it's your body, and
I make
if your boundaries were further along than that, if you didn't mind getting fingered in the alleyway, then I would disagree with you. But gross. You know, I don't set the boundaries further along than you would.
Yeah.
I don't think I've got the right to do that. And you,
no.
And you've got the, you know, I find you attractive, and there comes an element where that's just everyday run of the mill. I don't think I've got the right to say to you that you shouldn't enjoy other people finding you attractive. You know, you've got every right to
yeah, everybody's self esteem. Like I said, I've been married a long time, and sure, I know that you find me attractive, but are we as amorous as we were at the beginning? Do we compliment each other as much as we probably exactly, once did? Yeah. No. And I actually think when I get a little bit of attention elsewhere, like just, you know, compliments or a wandering eye, you then get the benefits of that, because that makes me feel sexy.
Yeah.
That makes me feel wanted. I come home to you and want to be exactly. with you.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, attention isn't bad. I don't think all attention can lead to infidelity. It certainly never has with us.
But then I think, circling back to the point I made at the beginning of the episode, that we know we've created this sort of open, honest environment. That, to me, takes any potential sort of sting out of it, because I think humans, like, we have this tendency to like taboo things. Like, there's something
to like naughty. Taboo things. Yeah, yeah. Like,
that, oh, that's not, I'm going to do it. And I hope, you know, there's a thrill in not getting caught kind of thing.
Mm.
If we had, like, if I had a massive problem with you getting attention, which is completely outside of your control, you can't help someone looking at you and thinking, yeah, I wouldn't mind a bit of that. Like, you can't help that. But if I made that a problem for you, then as soon as that happens, your brain's making this unconscious choice of,
this is forbidden fruit.
This is forbidden fruit. I like this. I'm enjoying
yeah.
this. And that's like a real slippery slope.
I can imagine it could be, yeah.
It's like, oh, well, I'm already doing something naughty. Like, I might as well go and talk to that guy. And before you know it, you may not be waking up in bed with him, but maybe there's some flirting that wouldn't have happened. Maybe you've had a quick kiss, you know. Whereas I think for us, it's like, I've done nothing wrong. That guy finds me attractive. I will then get a text saying, oh, some guy's giving me the eye. Like, it's a very different situation.
You'll say, when we're in America and some woman, oh, I love your accent. Da, da, yeah, da. Women love it. Women just juice for your accent.
If ever I'm feeling low self-esteem, I'm going to say, let's move to America.
Cause... And I think I'm naturally a little bit more jealous than you. I don't have jealousy issues, and you've never done anything to make me feel like my jealousy is an issue, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But when that happens, I do get a little bit territorial. But at the same time, I think, yeah, I have what is an exotic guy in America, and I quite like that, you know? But yeah, it is funny. But I think what it comes down to is things can happen. I don't know how I would feel if something happened in our relationship, if you did something. I mean, I've always said to you, I'd be on a plane in a hot minute. I'd take the dog, Alfie. You can keep Bruce.
Fine by me.
And, oh, you mean the dogs, not me leaving, I hope.
Yeah, you can have Alfie.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'd be on a plane home in a minute. Now, I don't know that I'd actually feel that way. I know that I'd be heartbroken and I'd feel sick. I don't know what would happen. And vice versa. I know, like, well, now you know that if I were to cheat, it'd be because I was in love with someone. Well, so who knows?
I feel like if you...
Well, I mean...
I feel like if you did, I would forgive you. But, of course, that's assuming that you wanted forgiveness. Because, as we just said, for you, it would mean that you've fallen in love with someone.
Well, I mean... Sex isn't the only way to cheat, you know?
That's true.
So, I mean, as you know, I kissed anything and everyone when I was young and single, so I could end up having a serious makeout session. That wouldn't take me falling in love with someone. I guess it depends on what I did.
Yeah, and I take the view that people are better than their last mistake or their worst mistake. I think all too often people are held to that. Like,
that's deep.
Yeah, it is. I am deep. But I fundamentally believe that. I think we can be... Well, look at us, right? We've got a pretty lengthy relationship behind us, which so far nothing like this has happened in it. But we're having the conversation was, if you did that one thing, and maybe you were drunk and not fully in control of your faculties, would we end it all and fly back half across the world and that's it? And do you know what I mean? Like, we're talking one act. So you are then being held to your biggest mistake today, and I don't know that that's fair. But then on the other side of that, I remember when I was at school, we had an assembly where our head teacher said, "Trust is like a piece of string. As soon as you cut that, it's, you know, you can't put it back." And it's true. Like, you can both agree that we'll work towards the if we want to go for it, but it is always there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I can see the two sides of it, but I think if you've worked all that time building something really good, and for the person who's done it, like that response we had, we learn from mistakes. If you've made that mistake and you think, fucking hell, that's terrible, I really wish I hadn't done that, you will never do that again. And in that sense, if you're someone who's been cheated on, there's an argument, perhaps, that you're less likely to be cheated on if you stay with the person who's learned from it than end the relationship, go with someone who's never done it, who hasn't had that
learning. I don't think you can really say that. You don't know.
Well, I don't know. I'm saying there's an argument, perhaps.
Potentially.
Because you haven't learned the lesson.
But also that person you're talking about that answered, they did that early on. So maybe
that was two different people.
Okay.
The one did it early on and didn't feel guilty. There was another person who said they did it and it felt terrible.
So they didn't specify when it was, No. I don't know. I just
think it's more complicated than people often say.
Yeah, I think I would be more inclined to feel more devastated when you've put a lot of time and a lot of effort into a relationship than maybe if it happened at the beginning. I mean, it'd be easy to say, oh, well, this guy's already cheated. It's a month in. I'm done.
Yeah.
But I just feel like it's so much bigger of a, not a stab in the back, betrayal, I guess, when you've built a life together. And for instance, I know the first thing I would think would be like, I have given up my entire life to come and be with this person and they can't even keep it in their pants. You know, that would.
Yeah. And I think if you're doing it after a month, then don't be with that person.
Yeah.
Certainly in the early days, like, you should have eyes for no one else. But I'm talking like if you've been together for years, and I'm not justifying it, I'm just saying I think actually people should be a bit slower to react sometimes, because...
Well, then they should be slower to react, whip it out and fuck someone else.
Yeah, of course they should, but we all make mistakes, don't we? And it's like, you know, it's just occurred to me, if you, we're not parents, but when you have kids, it's very, very, very extreme for people with kids to end a relationship with their children. Doesn't matter what they... And I don't mean young children, I mean they can be adults, you know. Parents will stick through their kids through being drug addicts, through breaking the law, through being criminals of something that they'll defend them. But we'll get you the help you need. We'll be there. We'll support you. And yet, in marriage, if you cheat one time, it's fully expected and defensible to say, yeah, leave that person.
I think the relationship between a child and a parent is extremely different than...
It is extremely different.
Because no one can replace that. You know, a child, you have, is part of you. You know, you've
grown... Isn't your spouse part of you?
I think so, but someone else could be too. I mean, you've made no secret of the fact that you don't think soulmates are real, and you could be just as happy with someone else as you are with me. Like...
Yeah, but that doesn't... Yeah, but don't... That's not to say that everything we've built is worthless, that the decade we've put into building what we've built is meaningless.
Oh, I know that.
So, for me, what I'm saying is, if you were to cheat, okay, I don't 100% know, but I like to think that, and because I, you know, I'm quite logical minded, I would be very hurt and all the emotional side of it, but I'd also eventually start to think, why did you do that? Was I part of the reason why you did that? Do you know what I mean? I think I would come back to that, and I think, well, was that bad thing bad enough to wipe out all the good things?
Yeah, but could you, maybe not logically, but could you see past it? Could your feelings overcome it?
I think so.
But how long would that take? And how long would you be punishing the other person? Do you know what I mean? Like, I just think it's really, really, there's a lot. It's not just getting over the fact they cheated on you and addressing why they did it. It's then going forward. Are you going to be able to look at them? Are you going to be able to not punish them forever? And do they deserve that? If it was a genuine one-time mistake and they didn't mean it, well, I mean, I guess you mean it, you've done it, but you know, whatever, they repented. Well, this is where
it comes down to every person's different. We know from some of the response we've had that not everyone could. I'm talking for myself. You know, I'm quite a philosophical person, and I'm quite a logical person, and I tend to always think in any situation, what could I have done to make that situation better, or what did I do to make it...
Doesn't feel like that when we have arguments.
But it does afterwards, because that's... We always have the conversation of, like, how do we not make that happen again? You know, we have put systems, so to speak, in place to avoid certain arguments we don't have anymore. you know, in like how we run the house, for instance, or we know how to talk to each other that will wind each other up. So, yeah, it is when we have arguments too. So I assume that I would be similar in that situation. But that's not to say that there would be no emotion in it. Of course there would be, it'd be hard. And one of the things I've been seeing a bit lately, I think some of the accounts we follow on Instagram, like, they're saying the time to have couples therapy is when you're in a good place, because then it's all about just making things stronger rather than waiting for something to be bad and you need to fix it. And, you know, again, I agree with that.
Oh, but yeah, totally.
I don't think you would cheat if everything was absolutely perfect.
Me or people in general?
People in general. I don't think the other person is fully responsible for making things 100% perfect, and I think that's a hell of a task. But I think, generally, there would probably need to be something in the relationship that would make you feel comfortable. Unless you're one of those serial cheaters.
But some people are wounded, some people are damaged, and can't be happy in a relationship. I think in some situations you have... Nobody is the perfect partner. Let's get that out right now. No matter how much you love and no matter how much you try, you are going to say things, you're going to do things that your partner either doesn't like or that hurts them. And that is okay, because we are all human and we are not robots. But you can be genuinely putting in 100% effort. You can be the best partner that you can be. And some other partners will still cheat because it's not enough. They can be megalomaniacs. They can be, you know, power hungry.
Well, like you said, maybe they're damaged. Maybe they need extra support and help.
Yeah.
I mean, but, well...
Or sex addicts, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, we're watching Mad Men. And I know it's fiction, but I don't think it's far from the truth where...
The time.
They're having... Well, not just the time, but they're having sex with everyone all the time. And you hear that quite a lot in high-pressure, powerful jobs. That's what happens. And you think, well...
It's a way to blow off steam, isn't it?
Well, but then remembering that, and then you hear about these people who, oh, I can't believe they cheated. They did everything around the house. They were like, you know, the perfect mother, father, husband, wife, whatever. And then you think, well, maybe that's why they cheated. And maybe they are so put upon in the house, where they've got so much stress and pressure that this opportunity presented itself. And, you know, at the end of the day, removing all sort of love connotations, sex can just be this... Or sex is this very physical.
It is a power thing too, though, isn't it? There is, I mean, they've
said... Well, there's the stress of winning someone over, if you like. But I think just
as... Stress or power.
I mean, if you're saying, like, some of the thrill is in the power of seducing someone. But I think also sex is just a powerful activity that can help you feel better.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're 24/7 under it at home and you... going from doing this chore to that chore to kind of pick the kids up to doing the dinner to putting them to bed, and that's your whole life, and then this opportunity arises to have good sex with someone, like...
And I can see that, you know, from, like, especially for maybe a woman that stays home and does all that stuff, and I think obviously it's very different in Mad Men because they all had help, they had maids, and the women,
but they're very lonely too.
They are, but especially today where, you know, say there's a stay-at-home mum, or maybe she's a mum that works and does everything, and your husband sees you as someone who wipes snotty nose and dirty bums, I can imagine there is an appeal in someone who doesn't know that side of you and just thinks of you as a sex goddess that you once were, and you can be that with them. You know,
And equally, I suppose, for the man in that situation is you fell in love with someone in a different situation. You know, they weren't wiping snotty noses and whatever. They were probably dressed up very nicely, and they were probably a bit more wild and...
Not tired and
unrestrained, and... Now, that's a natural... I mean, that happened to us without having kids. You just get a bit older and you go to bed earlier.
Well, thanks, babe.
I mean, both of us, you know, you wear comfortable clothes. Like, you're not always...
Yeah, you're the ones who's like, I'm not going to wear jeans anymore. They're too restricting.
Yeah, but you're not always 19, 20...
No.
21, you know.
No. Your body changes. Even if you stay fit, your body changes things sad.
But, so on that note, if this happens to men and women, you know, if you start getting attention from someone who's a lot younger than you, that must be incredibly fascinating.
I guess so. But I still think that the solution for this comes at home between the two of you. And part of it is talking like we talk. You know, I don't know how I would feel if you ever did this. And we've talked about that a fair amount. It's not like we talk about it weekly or monthly or anything like that. But it comes up every year or two. We have a little conversation, I think, just whether it's, you know, inspired by something from one of our friends that we hear they're cheating or something we see on TV, we do talk about it. And I think the ultimate thing that I've said, we both said in several episodes, you know, you are a couple, but you are still you. There are still two individual souls, hearts, brains, people in this relationship that you're in. But ultimately, you know, you are responsible for this person, especially if you're married. You know, you have taken them on for the rest of your life, hopefully. And you have to remember that everything you do, every single action has an effect on them, no matter how big or how small. And especially when it comes to the big things, you need to stop and think, how is this going to affect the person that I've chosen to spend the rest of my life with? Or this person that I'm in a committed long distance relationship with that is hard work and we want to see something at the end of it. That's what it comes down to, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, especially just with sex, if you've got one of you may have a much higher sex drive than the other one, or one of you may be much more vanilla than the other one. Like, I don't know, is it fair to expect someone, you know, if you want to try bondage or something, maybe that's too extreme, but maybe
compromise.
Yeah, exactly.
Would, like, you mind? Okay, so maybe you don't want to be tied up. Can I blindfold you?
Exactly. So
can we use flavored lubricant or chocolate syrup? I genuinely think that you do have to step outside of your comfort zone. Try it once. You know, like, okay, I'll admit something. We wanted to try a collar once.
Oh, yeah.
I was afraid of it. We used it. I didn't like it. You've never forced me. You've mentioned, hey, would you want to try that again?
And I mean, because that was never a big thing for me. I don't remember how that came up. But, so I never felt like I was really missing out with that. But, yeah, we did try it.
Yeah, and I was like, I don't really want to, but I will. You know, and that's okay. You just have to try things. As long as you're in a safe and loving relationship, that person is not going to, or shouldn't do anything, push you too far. Do you know what I mean? And you need to push each other.
You do. And I don't think you
but
can.
But not too far.
Yeah. I don't think you can expect someone to constantly be denied something that's important. Like, I mean, if you are just miles apart in the bedroom, it's like you just have to make do with the fact.
But I think it'd be extremely ignorant to assume that the root of these things is all sexual. You know, like you said, women lonely.
I agree, but I do think I think in some people it is.
I think so, but I think we need to also talk about some emotional things. Like,
well, okay, I think
maybe because you're a man, and maybe that's where you go initially.
Well, I think there is emotional cheating, and maybe you'll keep seeing that person for what they provide you, and then there is the one night stand and the sex and get it out of the way.
I don't mean in terms of the cheating being emotional or sexy, but the root of the problem.
Yeah, but I think that's what I mean. I think if maybe you're just missing something, or yeah, but I don't think it's all sex. I think, like we said before, sometimes it's just the thrill, or sometimes it's the
I think we have a really good marriage. We have a lot of room for improvement, but I think we're also really on the same page with most things. But how many times have you tried talking to me and you just think I'm not listening? Now, that doesn't happen every day. It's not normal. But imagine being in a relationship where
I don't think you're not listening. It's that I'll be talking to you and you'll start opening the mail.
Okay, well, whatever.
Or changing the subject. Like,
I'm not opening up an avenue for you to air dirty laundry.
But no, but I'm saying
let me finish my point.
I don't feel like you're not listening. I can see that
you're not listening. Well, whatever. I'm sorry you don't like my semantics, but if you are in a situation where you are not being listened to over and over and over,
yeah,
it's not an everyday thing for us. It does happen. We're human. We get distracted. But if you feel like you are never being heard, you're going to want to find something, or, you know, that's going to drive you. That could drive you to something. I'm just saying that it's not because you're not getting enough in the bedroom necessarily, especially in a long distance relationship, because you can't blame that person that you're not getting enough because you don't see them. And they probably would give you as much as they could, but they can't because you're however many miles apart.
Yeah, I think the harder thing with the long distance is you're not getting anything physical. You're not even getting hand holding. You're not getting a little touch. I know you like it when I touch your lower back as you know, you're getting none of that. Everything you're getting is purely psychological.
Yeah, and that's really, really hard, especially if you are a very sexually driven person, particularly if you're young, because your hormones are a lot stronger than they are when you're our age.
Yeah, totally.
I think that. But if you enter a long-distance relationship, and you don't expect some of that, that's very naive and very dumb. That it's going to be hard and you're not going to get that physical or whatever need it is.
Yeah.
Even if it's not sexual physical, like you said, someone to hold you when you're crying because you've had a shitty day, someone to put their hand on your back as you walk through a door, whatever it is, you need to be realistic and understand that that is not going to be there. The sex is not going to be there as much as you want it. Can you do that? To enter into this, yeah, it's fine, whatever, and then cheat on someone, that is 100% your fault.
It is.
But I can see the struggle at the same time.
Yeah. I think you can enter into things with the very best intentions, but you are naive about it until you've experienced it.
Yeah, you are.
You know, we didn't know how hard a long-distance relationship was going to be.
Yeah, but we didn't have an entire online community, you know.
No, it's easier now, but we also didn't do it for very long.
Yeah.
I don't think we could have done it for 5, 6, 7 years, some people are doing.
That was only after we met, though, that we'd only did, what, like 6, 7 months.
Yeah, but what I mean is you've got people who are travelling every so many months. Now, you're right, they've made the decision, and the right thing to do is to say, look, I can't do this, let's end it.
Or I can't do this, let's close the distance now, I'll move, you know, whatever.
Yeah. But I think, I don't think you can end that relationship saying, whatever happens, I can deal with it, because it's hard.
I'm not saying that, they just need to try and educate themselves, that's all I mean. No, you can't, you don't know, and you don't know what's going to...
It's just all very abstract until you go through it.
Yeah, all I mean is that it would be ignorant to assume that there's not going to be any problems, you're not going to want something that you can't have. You know, it is going to be a big challenge, and you need to make sure that you're at least somewhat mentally prepared. And there's nowadays, I don't think there is any excuse not to be somewhat mentally prepared. You can talk to people like us. There's so many other couples on, you know, long distance that have done the actual distance part a lot longer than we did. Now, we had a very long period before we met. It was still long distance.
Yeah.
But it wasn't as serious as those of people who have met and been back and forth a long time. It's just, I don't know. I just think people need to take responsibility for the fact that you are responsible for the person you're with's happiness to an extent. I know a lot of people like to say that's not true because people don't want to be burdened with that, but it is true. You are responsible for their happiness to some point. Now, your first priority is always you, because at the end of the day, everything and everybody can be taken away from you but you. So your first priority needs to be yourself in terms of like survival and emotional well-being, but you are also responsible for that person's. Yeah. And if you think that the only way to improve your emotional well-being is to cheat or to get what you're missing, then there's obviously a lot of conversations that need to take place between you and your partner.
Yeah, I agree.
Is there anything else we haven't covered?
I don't know. I think it probably sounds like I've made a lot of excuses for people who cheat.
But no, I think people should be aware that you, as a person, like you said, you're very philosophical. You very naturally play devil's advocate.
I do.
And that's not you saying that it's okay.
I just feel like whenever you hear, you know, so you're watching a TV show. So, what's a TV show? I know. Have you still got Ricky Lake?
Oh, like Jerry Springer. Or Jerry Springer,
you know. And we've got our equivalents of it. So it's like, oh, they cheated on me. And it's like, they're scum. And you think, well, yeah, some people are.
Yeah.
But it's led to there being no grey area anymore. It's just like, as soon as anyone cheats, they're ostracised. And I suppose all I'm trying to say is, I don't think that's right.
Not always,
and
probably
I do think that we're better than our mistakes. And you should weigh it up. If someone has cheated on you, weigh it up. And if you're thinking of cheating on someone, don't do it, obviously. I think that's why we wanted to do this episode, because we don't see it as completely black or white.
No, which I think is really hard. I don't necessarily think that people who do cheat are bad people. I don't necessarily think that people who don't cheat are good people, you know? Like, that person that answered something was like, it was an abusive relationship. So obviously cheating may be looked at differently in that scenario. You know, if you're trapped or you can't get out. I mean, I know people always say, oh, if you're in an abusive relationship, get out. It's not always, that's another area where it's not black and white. You know, you could be threatened. There could be children involved. Who knows?
I'd be a little bit
more understanding of someone who was cheating in that relationship.
And you raise an interesting moral dilemma. Is it better to not cheat, but be unhappy and make the other person inadvertently unhappy?
No, I said that earlier.
Or maybe be emotionally abusive. Is it better to be the dickhead who's emotionally abusive or the person who cheats?
Well, I don't think you have to be either of those people.
No, like I said, it's a moral dilemma. I'm not saying you have to choose to be cheaty. One of them.
No, I think if the relationship's unhappy, it's unhappy and it needs to be addressed for whatever reasons. That comes back to what I said. Just because you don't cheat doesn't mean you're a good person. You may be an abusive person who's not cheating.
You may be like an all-around near-perfect partner once cheats, and you're held to the same standard as...
What do you mean, once the cheat or cheats once?
Cheats once.
Okay, sorry.
But then you're held to the same standard as someone who isn't a good person, a partner who regularly cheats, sort of. You know, that to me is the issue, I think, is that... As that person responded, they did it once, they learnt the lesson, it was horrible, the relationship was ruined, and I would bet would never do it again. Then you've got the other people who go, yeah, as long as I can get away with it, I'll keep doing it. But in the eyes of a lot of people, they're exactly the same.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
To me, that's not right.
No. And I think people get taken advantage of and can be intoxicated with attention and, you know, manipulated by other people.
Well, and you know...
Every situation is different. Overall,
I've read a really horrible... little story on that website, Quora, whatever, people talk about experiences. I think it was on there. Anyway, there was a girl who was date raped.
Mm.
So obviously she's completely not part of, that is not a decision she's made. But she ends up breaking up with her boyfriend because his attitude to it was he wouldn't have done that to you if you hadn't been giving him the eye earlier on.
Or giving him the opportunity.
He chose you, like everyone else in that club, because... You did something.
Yeah, that's sick.
Which we completely...
That's like in some cultures where, you know, women that get raped are seen as they get blamed punished. Ones.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, she did nothing wrong in that situation.
Absolutely not.
And to me, that's either extreme insecurity or just extreme misogyny.
Or just looking for an excuse to get rid of someone in a shitty, shitty way.
Yeah, maybe. But, you know, so... I don't know how I got onto that.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, basically, you know, you can't view all cheating as the same. She didn't cheat, but her boyfriend believed she did.
Or did something to welcome, yeah.
Or welcomed it, yeah.
Well, I mean,
it's a tricky topic. I don't think we've got much conclusion on this one.
No, I didn't think that we would.
The porn one, we're just looking at both sides of it.
Yeah, I don't think there is really, in 99% of cases, I don't think there is any defense of doing it.
But if you feel like... If you feel like you might cheat or you would cheat if the opportunity, like, think why, and then is that a conversation you can have? Actually, I would cheat because I'm not getting this. And if it's just because you want some excitement, then you know, get over it. But, you know what I mean? If you, that in control of it, which is opposite to, you've got no intention of cheating, but, oh, it just happened one night.
Yeah.
Then you can't really plan for that. But, yeah, that's my advice.
Yeah, and mine is just to really... With every action, every decision you make, just remember that it affects someone else. And that was something that actually I struggled with when we first got married and moved into our own place and everything. And suddenly, not like from an infidelity perspective, obviously, especially early on, I never wanted to, I still don't. But just that every decision I made was no longer just for me.
Mm.
You're like, I really fancy making this for dinner tonight. Something as simple as that. Oh, he doesn't like that. Suddenly, everything you do, you have to take into account another person, which can be overwhelming and maybe sometimes makes you want to do something just to be spiteful.
Yeah.
But, which even sometimes, very rarely, like if I want a fucking salad, like you're eating salad, I've given up on that because it doesn't work. But you know what I mean? Like, yeah. And obviously, so when it comes to the big stuff, that's really, you know, if you were someone who, you know, liked to have sex with people as much as often when you were single or as much as possible when you were single... And then suddenly you're in a relationship and you do love this person and you want to make them happy and suddenly you don't do that anymore. It's going to be hard, but you have to take ownership.
That's what swinging's about.
Well, that's
a topic for another day.
We're not doing that. yeah. Just remember that everything you do is going to affect this person's responsibility, whether you're long distance or not, whether you've been together for a long time or not. And just, you know... comes back to that stupid golden rule, like, do unto others as you want done unto you. So, I don't know if that's exactly how it's said, but you get the gist.
Yeah.
So,
if you would like feedback on this.
Yeah, absolutely. We got a lot of feedback on the porn episode, which we really appreciated. So we'll probably put some more up today on the stories around this, or well, the day that this is released, depends when you listen to it. Just to find a little bit more out. And if you think there's anything we missed, I'm sure, as I said, we've not been through it. So I'm sure there's some emotions and questions that we haven't covered that we would love to hear more about from people. And we will talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.